When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a Patriots Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium. Boomer Esiason coming up at 8 on this atrocious football team and where they go from here and the rest of the NFL with Boomer in about an hour. And then Gerard Mayo will join us here at 9:15 this morning. And, of course, if you would like, you can watch this show on Twitch. And good morning to those of you that are. You can watch this show on YouTube, and hello to you as well. Just go to Twitch or YouTube and follow WEEI. We're going to get to They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports, coming up in about 15 minutes or so at 7:20. And then I have Bruins tickets to give away at 7:45, so an early holiday gift from the show at 7:45. And then Courtney has the news coming up at 8:20 this morning. But we have some leads left this morning, including one from Courtney. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
How was the movie on Friday?
You guys, if you have even the smallest interest in seeing Wicked, it doesn't...
I have none.
You should still go see it. If you've never seen the play, it doesn't matter. It's only part one. So I was talking to Wiggy because Wiggy keeps bringing up The Wizard of Oz and, you know, how it ties in. Mm-hmm. You don't really realize how it ties in until the second half. Because this part is really the prequel to how Elphaba became the Wicked Witch of the West and how Glinda became the Good Witch. It was probably the most beautiful movie I've ever seen.
Oh. You mean the way it was shot?
Yes. It was shot, the
better
acting.
Better than Legends of the Fall?
I've never seen that.
Oh, okay.
Titanic?
Yeah, better than Titanic.
Good Will Hunting?
Better.
Oh. But she's talking about straight cinema.
Yeah, yes.
How do you
like
say
the,
it a word?
Wait, what?
Cinematic.
Cinematography.
Cinematography?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes.
It just was really, really well done, and the sheer talent of Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande, I was sobbing at the end.
Really?
The last scene, like when I tell you, it was the type of sobbing where I was like,
I hope nobody sang.
I'll check it out.
No singing.
Everybody was really respectful. There was a group in our row who, after like the big musical numbers, would clap. That was fine.
That was okay.
That was okay.
All right. Anyway, your lead.
We'll clap at the end.
Yes. Yeah. It was. It's going to be a depressing day here at Gillette. So, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I wanted to do a positive, feel-good story in the football world. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but Baker Mayfield and his wife Emily donated almost $18,000 to Space Coast High School in Florida after they had a 1-8 season last year, and a big issue with them was they had out of date bad equipment. They weren't sure if they were going to be able to have a season this year. A mother of one of the players reached out to Baker and, you know, took a shot to say, hey, we need help with this program. They donate $18,000 towards equipment, including new helmets. They are now state champions.
Oh, all right.
And so Baker Mayfield was asked about this. Oh. This is a guy who's putting his money where his mouth is and doing good in the world. Here's what he had to say.
I mean, I got chills thinking about it. It's just a cool story. like I said, just got an unbelievable platform to be able to give back. And obviously they were in a predicament of probably not having a season, for not just for the varsity, the JV. They didn't have enough equipment. So just being able to give back and then seeing that turnaround, and it's all we did was get some helmets. They did the rest. They turned it around. They believed in it, and that's what football is all about. It's teaches you life lessons, how to handle adversity, how to deal with it and push forward. So, yeah, congrats to them. It's pretty special.
Awesome. Nice. I just thought it was a great story, and you don't hear, you know, a ton of positive right. when guys are doing good in the world, and we should be talking about more of that.
All right, great. Thank you, Wiggy. How was your trip to Georgia?
It was spectacular. The outcome wasn't great, but you know what? Very similar to what's going on in New England.
There's, I mean, UMass had a lead in that football game.
They covered.
Were up. I think they were up 7-0 and everything, but then there was a lot of disciplinary things that kind of plagued UMass and mistakes and everything. But, you know, there's going to be a whole new coaching staff. They got to change the culture there. And so hopefully the powers that be will send them in the right direction. And, you know, like the Lakewood story, the football story, they were able to turn around. Gerard Mayo also playing without good equipment. Mm. So here is what I will say. 6 wins, 5 wins, 3 wins, 6 wins. 6 wins, Kyle Shanahan's first year as head coach. 5 wins, Andy Reid's first year as head coach. 3 wins, Dan Campbell's first year as head coach. And 6 wins, yes, Bill Belichick's first year as head coach with the Cleveland Browns. Mm. So I am not going to jump ship when we haven't hit the iceberg yet, because this is Mayo's first year, and there are some things that I expected him to do better as a first-year head coach, but I understand when you don't have the right equipment, or if you're not given the proper tools or the proper players in your first year, it's going to be a struggle. I don't know what it was like, because I wasn't an Eagles fan when Andy Reid took over the team back in 99 as his first year as a coach. So I'm going to bet there was probably a lot of dysfunction going on. Mm-hmm. Same with Kyle Shanahan. I am not going to completely go crazy over the fact that a team that I expected to not have many wins anyways is having some struggles with a guy who's a first-year head coach. I will give him a year, and let's see what happens this offseason. I do believe he kind of got bamboozled a little bit, and I do believe if he would answer to the man, hey, do you feel like you were given the best opportunity to succeed? I think he would probably tell you no. It's only his first year, and we would put all those guys that I mentioned as very, very good coaches.
Yes. Okay.
So
jobs become available because the team usually isn't very good. That's what happens.
And usually the first year is a struggle for a lot of good head coaches. And, you know, we'll see what happens going next year into a second year if the Kraft helps out and gets him some pieces for this football team.
All right, Wiggy, optimistic when it comes to Gerard Mayo and what he will be as a head coach. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Courtney talked about lightening the mood. I just want to go in a completely different direction quick this morning, if I could, to get our mind off of football. And this is a lead for those who are like me and entering the golden years. Just a little bit of a warning for those who are entering their golden years and live in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Oftentimes, retirement means that you and your beloved buy an RV and plan some trips to travel around and see this great country of ours.
Yellowstone.
Starting January 1st in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, you will no longer be allowed to purchase a recreational vehicle.
What?
That's it.
Wait.
That is when that goes into effect in Massachusetts, January 1st.
What?
So you are no longer allowed to buy an RV in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Who elected Maura and Wu as our queens?
I don't know.
In all sincerity, this is not. Isn't this a democracy?
I don't know how.
an older couple is supposed to drive and see the country if they can't do it in an RV. I mean, I guess.
But aren't there companies that sell RVs?
Or those poor people, those companies that are selling.
They're not allowed to sell them in Massachusetts
anymore. They're just going to go under.
No, they are gas guzzlers. I mean, are you
I thought we were supposed to support businesses right now.
No, no.
We literally just had our election. We could have just voted it then.
That's on my. That was on my bucket list too.
Was it?
Like, I mean, who doesn't want to travel in an RV?
Oh my God, no interest.
Go do the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, man.
Oh, with the Camaro.
That is such a like. You don't.
Now, would you drive, or would it be Talina? I feel like I see you behind the wheel driving, singing some show tunes. Playing the license plate game.
Yeah. I'd go bigger IV, like a almost like bus steering wheel, the RV, rather than kind of like
sleep in the back.
Sleep in the back.
Maybe do a live episode of Couples and Cocktails in the back at some camping
all these
area,
scenic like, places all over the country that you'd like to go to.
There's all these political scientists that have weighed in after November 5th, and they've been theorizing as to why this all happened with Trump and everything. The core of all the discontent is that grown adults are tired of elected people telling them how to live their life. At the core of just, if you want to just understand the baseline, nothing to do with the people, the personalities, there are certainly loathsome qualities to Donald Trump. He is a narcissistic small man.
Yeah.
Totally agree. But the reason why so many normal people voted against Kamala Harris is because they're tired of people telling them how to live their life, and when they tell them how they should treat themselves in the middle of a pandemic, be told something that's totally false, and there's never accountability.
Yeah.
So if you want to know why we're going this way, if you want to have the country go back in a direction where you like it more, where people are a little bit more to the left, then stop having these politicians dictate what should happen in a free market.
Yeah. Well, they want you to go back to it. Like, if you want to travel, you know, in your golden years or when your kids are young, you can't do it in an RV. They want you to do it in a stagecoach or
have you ever seen how bad for the earth plane air jet fuel is?
Yep.
This is a shot at men everywhere. Courtney, there are a lot of guys, you might not get it, but there are a lot of guys that want to get together, jump in an RV, and go to all these college football places.
Are there still guys that want to do that, Wiggy?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I think guys would rather just hop on a plane, get there as quick as possible. I think that this is more couples that
there are plenty
trips.
Of guys I know that say, we're going to get a bunch of guys, and we're going to hit up 3 or 4 college football games.
They go tailgating and they go
every
in the
different
RV
place.
When I was at BC, it was a huge thing to go to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Be bad for them.
All right. Ugh. Well, those are our leads this morning from Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. Coming up next, we will get to They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports. And speaking of that, here is Courtney now with what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Pats fall in Miami 34-15 the final against the Dolphins, with Drake May completing 22 of 37 passes for 222 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. The offense had just 44 total yards in the first half, and penalties hurt the guys once again. They had 10 in the loss. We are going to get to what Gerard Mayo had to say about that during They Said It this morning. Speaking of Mayo, he will join us this Patriots Monday in the 9 o'clock hour, and we'll chat with Boomer Esiason before that at 8 a.m. In college football, BC is going bowling. They got their 6th win on Saturday, beating UNC 41-21.
That's nice.
Really nice.
For our guy, Bill O'Brien.
Yes. I hope that it's a good bowl game. Like, I hope we're not getting another close, like, Fenway Bowl type deal. I want people to be able to travel and see a new place.
A road show for the Greg Hill program. Shreveport, Louisiana. The Independence Bowl. Looking like BC Army, man.
Oh, is that where it is? Shreveport?
December 28th. It's lovely that time of year.
Oh, Army
is it in Shreveport?
Though?
I've never been to Shreveport.
I've never either.
I've been in New Orleans. Very nice.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Looks lovely.
All right. Well, the Celtics beat the Timberwolves at the TD Garden last night. 107-105, the final. Jaylen Brown started the game with 5 straight threes, ending the game with a game-high 29 points. And it's back-to-back nights for the Seas. They're hosting the Clippers tonight at the TD Garden. Tip is at 7:30. The Bruins got their 2nd win under Joe Sacco on Saturday, beating the Red Wings 2-1. And the crazy news over the weekend, just 5 days after Jim Montgomery was fired, he has a new home. Monty signed a 5-year deal to be St. Louis Blues head coach. That five-day period is the shortest in-season span between a head coach being fired and hired by another team in NHL history.
And St. Louis appears to have no questions whatsoever about his coaching abilities, giving him a five-year deal.
Right.
And that's, I think, what Julian got as well.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this an indictment about Sweeney's roster? That if these coaches are talented and they go on immediately to either find success or find employment, doesn't that mean that other general managers view the Bruins roster as not being good enough?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Or, as you have said in the past, there's an issue when it comes to guys who are playing on this hockey team and don't want to be coached or want to run the organization. I mean, that could be the other explanation.
Right, and in that case, they're being empowered by Sweeney, which hurts the roster.
But that would never happen, not with hockey players.
They're no.
Character's too high to be, you know, all about me versus the team.
All the players pro bono.
It's time to cozy up to irresistible new fall flavors at the 99 restaurant, like the freshly baked home-style chicken pot pie. It's packed with chicken and topped with a buttery, flaky crust, or the creamy short rib mac and cheese. You got to love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
I never heard TC bring up the Blackhawks off-field stuff when he talks about how, how great hockey players are. 35 degrees, feels like 24, afternoon high of 51.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium, where we have been and will be every Monday during this long and torturous NFL season for the Patriots. We'll talk to Boomer Esiason coming up in a half an hour. And before that, at 7:45, so 15 minutes from now, I have Bruins tickets to give away. So stick around, win those, and go see the Boston Bruins, who are undefeated since they fired Jim Montgomery, and undefeated since Jim Montgomery got a great job 5 days later.
They should give Sacco a five-year deal today.
They should. Yes, they should. Well, that was one of the issues, I guess, was it, and that's why St. Louis may have been intriguing to Jim Montgomery, is he could hire his own staff. One of the sticking points between he and Don Sweeney was that he wanted to hire his own guys. I don't know. I'm sure money was a sticking point between Jim Montgomery and the Bruins. Or maybe the length of the deal. I don't know.
I would rather be kicked in the nuts though than live in St. Louis.
I think a lot of head coaches, and you bring this up, Greg, and I think that's a good point. And I think Mayo's dealt with it a little bit. If they don't have the ability to hire their own guys, guys that they feel like they can trust, we see it with Bill all the time, right? I think it puts a strain on maybe the way they coach, because if I'm the GM's guy, I might not have an issue with saying, no, you're doing this wrong. We got it. And then there becomes this friction of this butt in the heads of way, whereas if you're my guy, you'll understand how I want to do things, and maybe you'll give me a little bit of kind of like pushback, but you'll be like, all right, I'm able to get it. So that's a very interesting point.
Yeah.
Do you think that everything changed for Mayo when Bill didn't get a job and that $30 million was off the books? Like, do you think that he said, honestly, we're going to burn cash? Because I don't think that was an intentional mislead.
I don't either.
No. The question becomes, I don't think they didn't hire I don't think the coordinators that they hired – or advanced in the case of DeMarcus Covington, who's been in the organization for 8 years, was done to save money. I just think that there wasn't a lot of interest in coming here and you know, being employed by a first year coach.
But isn't that chicken or the egg, where like a guy like Wade Phillips joined McVay when nobody thought the Rams were great?
So money changes all that, then, if you're willing to pay
then,
some.
Then we also can't believe that Robert Kraft went to Atlanta and blackballed him. Like, because if that was going to be a done deal, that Atlanta was going to hire Bill Belichick and Kraft stopped it, if you believe that,
right?
Then Kraft shot himself in the foot.
So I think you can partially have both be true. I think Kraft was honest with Arthur Blank about his experience, not thinking that there would be no other, like, I don't think Robert did that thinking that Bill would be out of coaching for a whole year.
Yeah.
I think he did that just because he doesn't like Bill, and he was asked about Bill by a guy he respects, and he told
him
the
truth. And he was honest with him.
Not expecting that to get to Don Van Natta and Seth Wickersham.
Yeah.
But there's no way a guy like Nick Caley turns down a job to be an offensive coordinator with Gerard Mayo and have his chance to kind of climb up the coaching ladder.
Well, he did just that.
But I don't know if they offered him a job. Just because you do an interview doesn't mean they're offering you the job.
Right. If you meet with the Red Sox for 3 hours, they don't even talk money.
Right.
Those offers are going in this week, Curtis. Juan Soto will have a nice offer on his desk later on today, maybe.
Well, I can't wait till your internet goes out on the Jersey Shore and you don't find out that they didn't get him.
But that's what you push, though, Curtis, in baseball. And we always go back and forth.
Right.
So, and, you know, you're right to a certain extent. But just because they interviewed Nick Caley doesn't mean they offered him the job. Or just because they interviewed all these other potential candidates. What
do you think they offered Alex Van Pelt the job over Nick Caley?
Do you think he was hired for catering and then they just moved him over?
I would say if you're Nick Caley.
Wiggy, he has limited experience.
Nick Caley has no experience.
Yes, but he is one of those people like Bobby Slowick that everybody talks about as being the guy.
Right, but Bobby Slowick, when he gets his first opportunity, no one knew the hell Bobby Slowick was. He was like a Nick Caley, young up-and-comer. Nobody knows he's helping out quarterbacks or he's helping out with the passing game. So for all these people that are like, oh, this one turned the job down, that one turned the job, why would you turn your first real experience opportunity to be an offensive coordinator down?
Because you felt like this organization, even if Drake May was great, was not going to invest in the places they needed it for the offense to be successful.
But how does Nick Caley know that and Gerard Mayo doesn't?
Right.
Gerard Mayo is getting paid a lot of money. And he is a head coach. I think you take a risk when you get an opportunity because there's only 32 of them. Whereas Nick Caley, if you're selective, like Josh McDaniels went to the Rams and they sucked on offense for 2 years. And that derailed his opportunity to get a second job. A guy like Nick Caley comes here and he probably knows how the business was done here. How many years was on the staff? Three?
A long, yeah,
4 years?
Yeah, 3 or 4 years.
So like I feel like the Patriots just, for whatever reason, their aversion to spending money on the offense, or really anywhere, is what led to many people turning this down. And the only way...
So then you think that Gerard Mayo was lying when he said burn some cash?
No, I think Gerard Mayo thought they were going to spend this offseason and also was given a multi-year guarantee as a head coach, which is probably $7, $8 million a year, versus a guy in Nick Caley who's going to be getting $1 to $2 million, and if he fails as a coordinator, will be even further away from his desire to be head coach.
He might not get an opportunity because he's the tight end coach for the Rams. So Nick Caley's not. He might never get that opportunity to be the offense.
But who's the coordinator for the Rams right now?
Sean McVay.
Okay, but so they don't have one in name only?
Oh, they probably do have one.
Well, guy will get a job, and then Caley will be in that position,
right,
and then he'll get a job.
But my thing is, the way I think I think it unfolded was Elliott Wolf said, these are the guys that we're hiring on offense. I worked with Alex Van Pelt. I think he can get the job done. And so some of those other guys that Gerard might have said, hey, let's interview. They said, oh, we'll interview him, but we're not hiring him.
And Wiggy, you can't say that who is the real coordinator. The Patriots hired a defensive coach as their head coach,
right,
who wasn't even the coordinator. Well, he wasn't even calling the plays.
Right, but that's because of the relationship that Robert Kraft had with him. I just think it's weird that you as the head coach, and because this was on the Jim Montgomery thing, might not have had full autonomy to hire your guys.
Yeah. I think that's a recipe for disaster.
And don't you believe you've been whispered something to that effect, that maybe Gerard Mayo didn't have full control over his entire staff?
Yes.
So, and that's where I'm on, and that's why I think he...
But I think Alex Van Pelt was a stopgap, duct tape, you know, move because of his familiarity with Jacoby Brissett. Like, right. I think that's why that happened.
And that's such a microcosm of why they are where they are. It's such short-sighted thinking. Like,
yeah.
Who cares if Brissett sucks the first 4 weeks? Right. Get the guy that can most get the most out of your franchise quarterback.
Yeah, 100%. All right, Chime, let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports. Where do you want to start this morning, Sean?
Yeah, Greg, it only makes sense we start with Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo. Yesterday after the game was asked about the penalties and when the players become accountable, and this is what he had to say to the media.
I mean, look, it's always once those guys cross the white lines, there's nothing I can do for them. There's nothing any coach can do for them once they cross the white line. It's my job to continue to prepare not only them but our coaches to go out here and play better football.
Curtis, this went right up your craw as well as mine yesterday.
What are we doing?
I mean, particularly when it comes to penalties, that is – you know, yes, it's the player committing the penalty, but it's, you know, if you're not sitting there pounding it into a guy's head that you can't line up in the neutral zone when you're, you know, within an arm's length of the football.
Was it Hooper who was lined up basically on the Miami Dolphins defensive line?
Yes.
I've never seen that.
That is.
Maybe he's short-sighted.
That you can do something about that, and that is, you know, if he can't figure it out – as an NFL player, don't have him playing in the football game.
Have you ever, as a tight end, Wiggy, lined up on the defensive side of the ball?
No. I cheated it. I got close, but I ain't got that
but Greg
close.
Brought up Vidarian Lowe earlier, and it's like, all right, you had three chances to take him out over it. You can do something once they cross the white line.
No, I mean, awful. It's there are a lot of things that a head coach can do, and it is.
How about the first being accepting and owning accountability? That's the number one job of any leader. To stand up and say, it starts with me.
That's what Bill used to do.
Right. We have to coach better, play better, all that. Totally.
Yeah. By the way, I just got a text, speaking of defense, I just got a text from Alex Van Pelt. And he said, you know, I can coach defense too. He just wanted to give everybody a heads up that he can do that. All right, what's next, Sean?
So Mike McDaniel spoke after the game as well, and he talked about our guy Drake May, who may not have had the best game yesterday, but McDaniel still seems to want to gush about Drake May a little bit.
When you're able to be a pocket passer, but then extend plays and make teams pay when you're in man coverage or two-man, it's a problem. And he'll continue to make plays as he gets better and better in the pocket. It's a guy that, honestly, I'm not really rooting for his development being in the division, but I can appreciate the player. They have a very good player to work with at that position. So we'll continue to have to be on our stuff.
Speaking of man coverage, you would know better than I, Coach Wiggins.
Yep.
But New England Patriots stayed in man for most of that game yesterday and got destroyed during it.
Yeah, Jaylen Waddle was killing them. I think at that
point. Is that an in-game adjustment?
That's the adjustment you got to make. You got to say, all right, we're
going to. Should they have made that in-game adjustment at some point?
That I probably would. I personally would tend not to run as much man against Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and play a little bit more zone.
What you do has nothing to do with what happens between the white lines, so why even make an adjustment?
Yeah. Well, I would think the defensive coordinator
would
say,
hell.
Let's get a little bit of a zone here.
Right?
That's what I would think. Yeah, so don't, but I agree with you. I think there are things, especially on the defensive side of the football, expectation-wise, that I felt Gerard would be good at,
he's struggling with. That's the side of the football that you would expect he excels at.
Yes, Yes, that's his kind of forte over there. That is where I would say when you look at Gerard, this is his bread and butter. That side.
I mean, they had maybe three pressures on two of that entire football game.
Right.
It was like watching.
But then again, you can't some scheme, is the talent.
You can't
though.
Scheme something up.
No. But some is the talent. When it comes to pressures, if you have to scheme up blitzes and twist and all that, that means you don't feel like you have guys that are good enough that can win one-on-one matchups.
It's also, I mean, two at the end, near the end of that game, they were saying they were going to take him out, and he was not scared of our defense at all, that he looked at the coaches on the sideline and said, no, I'm going back in.
Yeah.
Like, he was...
That was a really good football team they played.
For Tua's longevity, he should only play the Patriots.
I know.
He'll never get hit.
But yeah. That's what I was so surprised by. It's like Tua has to worry about a lot of things when it comes to health. They were up by 20, and he's like, no, put me back in.
But that shows you the lack of talent.
Right.
It's the same way on offense. When people are like, oh, they should design more trick plays in this and come up with all these exotic, things, tomfoolery. That's because you don't have guys that can win one-on-one. So now you have to resort to a throwback to Kendrick
Bourne. Oh, is that awful?
Who then, Schott puts it over across the field to Ramondre Stevenson.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, let's go from one really bad football team to another, shall we? The New York Giants got bodied by Baker Mayfield yesterday, and he even taunted Tommy Cutlets with the fingers. And
he said that wasn't a taunt; it was a tribute.
Yeah, right. You're right. Sorry, my fault.
He's such a good guy.
Yeah, I do love Baker though. But the Giants star receiver, young rookie star receiver Malik Nabers, was not happy after the game. This was his interaction with the media in the locker room.
What words today would you use to describe this loss?
Selfish.
How disappointed are you?
Very.
What are you most disappointed about?
I mean, it's over, man. I'm tired of going out there and losing. Like, it's just that. I mean, I don't know, bro. Go out there first, second quarter, don't get the ball, start getting targets at the end. I mean, can't do nothing. Start getting the ball when it's 30-0. What you want me to do?
Why in the first half are they not looking at you?
I don't know. Talk to Dave about that.
So we're soft.
Was he having gum?
He was chewing on candy.
We're soft AF, and if I don't get the ball until we're down 30-0, then we can't win the football game.
That's on coaching.
How do you like that? Do you like that from a rookie?
I don't like it from a rookie, but that's on coaching. Your best player on the football field is Malik Nabers, and you don't start throwing him the football until the second half.
They've done that 3 weeks in a row, too. Like, he doesn't have any catches in the first half.
That's a coaching thing, Greg. Like, so when you say coaching and how they can affect the game, guess what? Throw Malik Nabers some screen passes. Give him some reverses. Design some stuff to get the ball into his hands. I don't like the way he went about doing it, but guess what? If you're going to talk the talk, be able to walk the walk. And he's kind of done that all year long. But that's a thing that's on coaches. He's not saying this if you're getting him the ball early.
I have an idea to fix the Patriots next season while keeping Mayo in his job. They're going to fire Daboll. Daboll's your offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And then if Brian Flores doesn't get one of the open head coaching jobs, you give him the top of the market, assistant head coach, defensive coordinator, sort of like Bill with Parcells in 96 with the Patriots. You bring in Flores, that guy is an accountable human being.
Yeah. I think Gerard Mayo would benefit from a veteran coach, a guy who's done it before, who's around him helping with all, every aspect of what he's doing as a head coach.
Gasper has a great column in the Globe today on how Mayo needs to learn his lesson from the season and surround himself with veterans that can coach offense and defense so that he has a better shot.
Yeah. All right. Is that it, Chime? I think it is.
That'll do it, Greg.
All right. That is They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports. Up next, I have a pair of Bruins tickets to give away and your thoughts on Gerard Mayo as the head coach of this New England Patriots football team now and going forward. We'll get to those coming up next. It is a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium coming up in about 10 minutes. Boomer Esiason on the New England Patriots yesterday and the rest of the NFL, and then Jerod Mayo will be with us here at about 9:15 this morning, as he always is. This is Sam from Everett. What's up, Sam?
Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
All right. Listen, just real quick, you know, I like Jerod Mayo and everything, but I really wish Kraft went the other way and hired an offensive coach. And I just want to leave you guys with this. It might not be much, but do you guys know that Bill Belichick is the last defensive coach to win the Super Bowl? Thank you.
Ooh, is that true? I mean, the league, Wiggy, you bring it up all the time. The league has changed, and it is I guess, interesting to ponder whether or not that was a mistake on the part of Robert Kraft. So
I would say the last defensive coach with the greatest quarterback of all time to win a Super Bowl. I think the last defense that like won a Super Bowl that was based on the defense was the 15 Broncos.
Well, but the call is like right to a certain extent is like the league has changed, and Sean talks about this a lot, and I always hear Rich and Adam Jones talking about it. The league has changed where a lot of the new head coaches are offensive-minded guys, are on the offensive side of the football. That's what the league has kind of gone to nowadays when you start to kind of look the majority of coaches. So you're starting to want – you're seeing a lot of that. So – but – if he made his decision 5 years ago, and, you know, D'Amico Ryans is the defensive guy, and Houston has done a decent job. I know they've struggled a little bit here of late. Dan Quinn is a defensive mind, but you do see the league changing towards that.
This is Nate. Nate, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
You know, you guys talk about, you know, how they don't spend. You know, these free agents won't come. It's not only that. It's the coaches, too. You know, they get these recycled coaches that are on old contracts from other teams to come in here. I mean, this league knows how the crafts operate. You know what I mean? And the fact of the matter is, until they finally change their way of doing business, okay, and keeping guys from within and all this other stuff, you know, they're not going to go ahead and turn this thing around. I hate to say it, but – you know, you got to start getting the guys from the Sean McVay trees and stuff like that last caller just talked about with the, you know, having an offensive minded. Like, they're going about this all the wrong way, okay? I mean, Kraft is just like Jerry Jones. He micromanages, but at least Jerry Jones actually spends the money, okay? Kraft does not want to spend the money, and he thinks it's all about him. I mean, just look at his whole documentary, right? It's about him. Like, this way of thinking is not going to work. And until he can step aside, or Jonathan can change it, or the other brother, or I don't know, or the sister, I mean, this thing is not going to be turned around anytime soon.
Well, Nate, thank you for the call. I do wonder if there are some who watched that game yesterday and now look at the rebuild as being a longer rebuild than you may have thought. I mean, there's a lot they got to address on this football team.
What the organization engaged in when Tom left for the last 5 years is a peeing match instead of a desire to fix the roster. Like, there was these fights between Bill and Robert. There's the roster, who has control, what are we spending on? They are still on the decline. They are nowhere near getting into playoff contention. And I know teams do it, but you need an entire new offensive line with Andrews, maybe Andrews and Onwenu, three new guys. You need a whole new set of receivers. You need an entire new set of linebackers. You need, I mean, up and down this roster.
There's so many needs that you have to address.
Right. You have a very good to great cornerback, and you have a potentially good to great quarterback.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think Jerod Mayo's going anywhere, because Kraft has the ability to put blame there. Mm-hmm. That they need to up the talent on the roster. Now, next season, if they do that and the team's still not winning, then it's going to turn the attention to Jerod Mayo.
It's an easy fix. That, you know, and people make it seem like it's a hard fix, but you could have been in on Devontae Adams. You could have been in on Brian Burns, who is now with the New York Giants, who's an unbelievable pass rusher. So next year, this offseason, you could easily be in on Max Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can be in.
Let's say they could have offered a second rounder for him.
Yeah.
Why not do that at the trade deadline? Like, what's the downside?
You got to pay him.
Right.
That's all the only downside is to some of these guys. T. Higgins.
Right.
Whether you want to call him a 1B, a 1B plus, whatever the hell it is.
You love T. Higgins.
No, I'm just bringing up a free agent.
But he's the only one that might be available for money.
You could be in on him if you're willing to spend the money. Yeah. You know who's a guy who's going to be available? Deebo Samuel.
I got to tell you, yesterday, was a brutal drop.
Right, but I'm not saying that you want the guy, but it's an easy fix because you can be in on these guys if you're willing to just spend the money.
All right, if you want to be in on the Bruins and their 2-0 streak since the firing of Jim Montgomery, then we have tickets to give away right now. So if you are caller number 9 on the contest line, which is 617-931-0937, you get 2 tickets to see the Bruins and the Canucks tomorrow night at the Garden. Limited tickets are still available at Ticketmaster.com/Bruins. And we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk everything NFL with the great Boomer Esiason next on the Greg Hill Show here at WEEI.